All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the first ever Web3 Marketing with Becky and Rocky Twitter space. Woo!
Hi, everybody.
We're so excited that y'all have gathered here. I know people are going to start to sprinkle in, but I'll go ahead and get us started. So my name is Becky, and I'm a former Web2 marketing coordinator transitioning into Web3. I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Rocky.
Hi, everybody. I'm also a former Web2 marketing and comms person, also making that transition, also with my own NFT project as well. So super excited to be here with you all.
Yay! So Rocky and I, we met because we're part of several of the same NFT communities, including Stardust Society, and we just connected right away as we were both on our learning journeys, and the idea came about that we should create a space for others who were working through the same questions that we were. You know, how to make that leap from Web 2 to Web 3. What tools and strategies should we bring with us? What needs to be updated? And what should we leave behind? And so we came up with this idea of a five spaces series to address that. And in future sessions, we will be interviewing guests on how to design an engaging narrative around your NFT project, talk about what marketing metrics and goals we should be setting and using to determine campaign success, how to build a Web3 community, and what marketing looks like after Mint. So stay tuned for those. And today, we are going to start at the beginning, a very good place to start with how to transition into Web3. And so we are so grateful to be joined by two amazing guests. We have Lacey Kailani, the founder of Web3 Resume Wallet Meta Intro, and Kaylee, who is a creative director at a marketing agency and the project manager for Stardust Society, an NFT project rooted in self-expression that mints in sync with the moon cycles. So cool. So to kick us off, we would love for each of our wonderful guests to share a little bit about themselves and how they got started in Web3. And so Kaylee, if you don't mind starting us off, I'd love for you to share a little bit about yourself, how you got started in Web3, and ultimately joined the Stardust Society team.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me today. It's such a pleasure to be here. So I got started in Web3 in January. Like you said, I'm a creative director at a marketing agency. I specialize in experiential, so that's everything from brand campaigns to activations to pop-ups to events. And so a lot of my clients were coming to me saying, "Hey, like, what is Web3? How do we get into NFTs? Like, there's so much buzz about it." And a lot of our clients are starting to go into metaverse plays too. So I just like, I'm fascinated by all things that is uplifting artists and seeing this kind of community start to blossom. I was like, okay, let's get into it. I have a friend that's really into it, so she onboarded me. And in January, I just started trying to find things that resonated with me. So I created the NFT Twitter, which is what I'm on now. So, you know, I just went full in head first. I minted a generative collection first, and then the second NFT I got was Coco's art from Stardust Society, one of her one of ones. And I just really resonated with her work. I started showing up in the Discord. I'm one of those people when I start to get into something, I go like all in. And so I just started showing up a lot, and she saw that I really got what the project was about, that I really understood what her kind of goals were. So when it came time for her to start a generative collection, she kind of just reached out to me and said, "Hey, would you like to be a part of this?" She wanted me to be kind of like a community lead, but quickly she saw that I you know, coming from marketing, had a lot of experience in building that kind of narrative that you're talking about really helping lead the project, making sure that we're aligning with what our goals are as we build our own brand and start to develop that. So, you know, working through our pitch decks that we're building, our brand guidelines, what the tagline is for us, who we are building as our kind of core community. So Coco just kind of saw that in me, which was really cool because it wasn't a leap that I was necessarily looking for, but it's been such an amazing learning process along the way too. So I really thank her for giving me that opportunity because that's really where a lot of this comes from, is empowering others and uplifting others. And she's done that a lot for me. And I know she's in the audience too. So thank you for being here, Coco.
Yay. I love that. I really like that. It started with you being like already getting these questions from clients about, you know, metaverse and Web3 and how do we get started? And so you started your own journey. And when you joined that kind of that Genesis collection that Coco minted, that was kind of how you started to build a relationship with her. So that's one thing I'm finding a lot in the different NFT communities, that communication that you have with founders is so immediate and so accessible. And so you can really network and connect with people and talk about your shared interests and values. And it sounds like you guys just really aligned right away. So that's, I think it's the power of Web3 and everything, just the universe aligning. So I think that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And Lacey, same question. We would love to hear more about your background, how you got into Web3, and what inspired you to start Meta Intro.
Yeah, well, happy to be here. My name is Lacey. I'm the co-founder of Meta Intro. A little bit about me, my background is in the HR space. Over the course of my career, I've interviewed and hired most literally thousands of people, and which led to my first startup, which was a labor marketplace, which was venture-backed and sold. While I took some time to be a recovering entrepreneur, decided, what am I going to build next? I've been passively in the crypto space since like 2016-ish, just trading. And at the time of the sale of my last startup, a lot of my founder friends were moving into the Web3 space or pivoting or building something new. And I thought a lot about the future of work, what the market looks like right now in the startup, startup world, and thought about issues that I wanted to solve for. And so that's kind of how we landed on Meta Intro. So Meta Intro, a professional resume wallet for Web3. It's a multi-chain custodial wallet that holds proof of employment, proof of skill, proof of education, all the things that you put in your resume. Interacts as a browser extension with job applications. So instead of uploading your PDF resume to an application, you would connect to your Meta Intro wallet instead. And lastly, adjacent to the product, we also run the largest Discord community dedicated to Web3 jobs. There's about 4,000 jobs posted in our community a month. So I definitely know a thing or two about people making the career transition into Web3. It's a loaded topic and definitely can be overwhelming.
Oh, thank you so much for that, Lacey. I also love how for you it was almost like a natural move, like you were looking at what was happening in the market, what your kind of friends and colleagues were up to, and it felt like the natural thing to move into Web3 and to take your business there. And I think that's what a lot of people that certainly I'm talking to are kind of finding, that it's almost like an organic first step, and then as everyone says, you kind of fall into this rabbit hole and then you never come back up for air again. Really, really excited to kind of delve further into how Meta Intro can help the people that are listening in today, and we'll be delving further into that later. But thank you so much for sharing that with us. So we're going to move further now into trying to understand what a Web 3 job can actually look like in practice. And Kaylee, if it's okay, we're gonna kind of delve a little bit further into your role. So it'd be great if you're able to tell us about what your community manager role at Stardust Society involves. You've obviously spoken a little bit about that already, you know, sort of talking about the fact that you've been working with Coco on pitch decks, on, you know, sort of working with her on making sure that the brand aligns. So it'd just be great to hear a little bit more.
Yeah, I think originally, you know, coming in, it was how do we keep the community involved, and what can we do to really make sure that people are feeling heard and that they want to really be a part of our project, too. So a lot of it started off with figuring out, OK, what is this generative collection going to be? How do we execute it and how do we get it done? So, you know, we have every team member on our team that has their own strong suits, like Chelsea's here. She's our chief spiritual officer. So she runs some Twitter spaces for us and events and helps with our service days and finding people's strengths. So I help with that, too, is kind of figuring out what people's roles and responsibilities are as project manager. Also making sure that the community has their own kind of roles and responsibilities, too, that they feel included and are a part of it. So we do that a lot through Discord, through Twitter. We've had in-person events, too. But then a lot of the past few months was just getting this generative collection going. So learning a lot of, okay, how do we actually physically create this? Coco's working through all the layers. How do we then track all of those layers to make sure that we're running the right rarities, working with the developer, TechShell, who's coding everything, testing everything, because our project's a little bit unique where we have 7 poses instead of just 1 for the PFP. And then all of those 7 poses, then there's 4 different skin tones that they could be. And then all of the, you know, accessories, the clothing. I believe we have something like 3,500 different layers within our generative collection. So just tracking and managing all of that, working through the collabs with other communities for when we had our Starless pre-sale. So we did a pre-sale and kind of like a reserve list in our first mint period. And then we pulled our community to decide that we'd keep minting within this moon mint period cycle. So now we're minting every full moon we open and every new moon we close. So we actually close tonight at 11:11 Eastern time. So a few more hours left to mint if you'd like for this period. And now it's figuring out, okay, if people are minting during these periods, what are those perks? Like, how are we building in between the new moon and the full moon? Because that's really our time to then focus on how we want to build the brand and where it's going to go. So we've been coming up with new initiatives. We have a new initiative called the Space Cadets. So you'll receive a patch for either holding a specific NFT from the collection or minting during a specific period. We also work with polling the community to purchase one-on-one artists and then raffle those off to the community too, because we know that people want to support emerging artists too. So that's something that's big for us, as well as that self-expression that you talked about taking care of yourself, and balance is a big thing for us, as well as service and taking care of others. You know, we like to think that you got to take care of other people's first before you can even take care of yourself. So you got to make sure that your whole community is taken care of. So that's something that's really important for us. But yeah, a lot of spreadsheets, I got to tell you, and a lot of Google Docs. We use Google Drive a lot. There's a lot of that in this, too. So you got to have both of those brains, the creative and the admin brain.
Gosh, that's a big job that you do. It sounds like it's just so much of like you've, you know, you're just involved in so many different aspects of the project. So perhaps, and correct me if I'm wrong, perhaps in a 2 role, you'd have quite a linear job role where you kind of understand, you know, what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, and you've got a whole team around you that are doing lots of different other things, and maybe within that quite a hierarchical team structure. Whereas it sounds to me that from what you're explaining, whilst people have got their roles, it is, you know, a lot of people just getting involved in lots of different things just to make sure that the project kind of goes the way it needs to go. Also, I found really interesting, you know, the fact that you needed to kind of learn all about how the generative collection would be put together and perhaps some of the kind of tech and technicalities around that. And I just wanted to find out if that was something new that you kind of were or weren't expecting and how you found that.
Yeah, I definitely feel like, well, first of all, to answer your question about putting on many hats, I think what's so unique about Web3 is that you go after what you want to learn about and you focus on what you want to focus on. So if I'm coming in as someone who's really interested in uplifting artists and figuring out how the inner workings are, then of course I'm going to get into the development of, you know, how does this thing work? How do you get it built? Because knowing the inner workings of a lot of that can help inform what that story is. If I wasn't a part of managing that aspect of the project, I wouldn't be able to know about the messaging behind, oh, wow, seven poses, that's really unique. Having all these different layers, that's something that we should share because that's something that is kind of a core message behind who we are, the fact that we want to be able to represent so many people and be authentic to that. So I think there's parts of me, too, as someone coming from a creative field of just seeing how the, you know, the recipe is then translated and then cooked or baked, you know. And I've worked with a lot of digital artists before in the past where it's kind of, okay, here's your prompt or here's what we're trying to achieve. Here's the tech specs, go out and do it. And then we'll kind of oversee it. But actually being a part of the process is so much more satisfying. Because then even though I'm not the artist, I'm helping Coco as she's creating this art, I feel like I'm still part of that process. And that's fulfilling to me. So it really is that kind of Web3 mantra of, you know, going after what you want because we're still building it. We're in the process of making this the future. So I think that's really cool.
Oh, thank you for that. Yeah, that is really, really cool. Definitely motivating me to kind of move further into getting that kind of Web3 role. Are you able to perhaps talk to us a little bit more around like some of the differences around like a Web2 role, like Web2 marketing role and a Web3 marketing role? I think you've touched on some of it, but if there's anything else that you wanted to kind of add there before we move on.
Yeah, I think you're right in saying that within Web2, you have more of these structures and these roles in definition. Like in my day-to-day job, I'll pitch to clients, I'll create the pitch decks, I'll come up with the concepts, but I'm working closely with the strategy team who's pulling those metrics, they're pulling together kind of what the insights are. And so I know that's not something that I'd really get into strategy as much in my day job, but here in Web3, I can add a little bit of that and I can kind of build my own role. I think that's kind of where the difference is, you know, kind of that feeling in Web2, you have to stay in your lane sometimes. And here you don't really need to have those bumpers as much. Of course, you want to focus on what you're strongest at, because that's what is more gratifying is when you're doing something that is fulfilling to you. But I think that's where the room to play is, because you're not so defined by, okay, I'm a creative director, so I'm the one who's managing all of the content, all of the assets, and then also like selling the story. Now I can be a part of everything, and you're given that kind of opportunity here, where as Web2, you feel like you need permission a little bit. Here you're kind of have that room to play.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah. So it's just about probably more around taking the initiative around the things that you really enjoy. And I love that. I love that you can kind of spread your wings a little bit as well, and probably find new and other things that you're really good at that potentially you're not kind of able to explore as much. So yeah, that sounds really great. Thank you so much. Final question before we move on is if you're able to talk about like how you found the transition. I think it'd be really interesting to know how you pivot between the two, because you have your day job and then you have your second job with Stardust as well. So that'd be really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it can definitely be difficult sometimes, but it's really about communication and balance and really speaking to the team of, hey, just so you know, I have to go on a work trip, or is this going to take me a little bit more time because this is pulling my attention. But really, the thing that fuels me is the fact that I feel like Stardust Society and working with this team is one of the most exciting periods of my life, because I'm doing something that's new, that's fresh, that's like refilling my cup, versus sometimes at my day job, it's like constantly giving, giving, giving. When's the next concept coming out? What's the next big innovation that we can pitch to our client? And here it's like, I don't have to think about that. I can just be a part of this and really help grow something that's important to me. That transition between just finding the balance is the trickiest part, especially during a bear market, because it's hard to be like, oh, I'm putting all my energy in something when this is happening. But this is when the builders are really around doing something and showing that they're sustaining and continuing. But making sure to take care of yourself always, like that's something that's very important to us, is that balance, and just making sure that we're not burning each other out. So communication is a big key in that transition. But I know my story is a little bit different than some people, because I'm not full-time Web3, but sometimes it feels like it, because you got to wake up in the morning and send your GM tweet, and then you got to close the day out with your good night tweet. So that's just how it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, on quite a lot, even if you're not officially on a lot. But I totally hear what you're saying. And I think a lot of the listeners will kind of chime with this too, the excitement around, you know, what you're building, the fact that it's personal to you. You know, that certainly is one of the things that I find with kind of building Gold Bangle on the side and then going into the day job that I do. It's just the excitement around Gold Bangle, and, you know, just the learning, that the amount of learning that we're able to do in Web3, because things are shifting and changing so much. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. It was really, really interesting to understand, you know, what the role looks like, or what your role looks like, because there are so many different roles within Web3 marketing, and how you found that transition. I'm going to hand it back to Becky now, and she's going to delve into some of the nuts and bolts.
All right. Thank you, Rocky. And thank you so much, Kaylee, for all of that. That was so, so interesting. So my questions are for Lacey. So we've heard time and time again that the bear market is for building. And, you know, as someone who's immersed in the jobs market, are you able to give us an idea of the types of roles available right now? If you've seen any differences between, you know, bear market and bull market, I wonder if you could speak a little bit to that.
Yeah, everybody's definitely still hiring. I tweeted this the other day that I feel like oftentimes we see headlines like, you know, in the past few weeks, blockchain.com, Coinbase, OpenSea, everybody's laying off, but those companies only account for a small portion of the industry. And if anything, I've seen, you know, firsthand that companies are ramping up hiring, companies like Kraken, Circle. I mean, again, like there's 4,000 jobs posted in our Discord community a month, and that's growing. So it's a great time to be looking for a job. It's a great time to be entertaining different offers. You know, companies are definitely aggressively hiring and they need talent now. So it puts the power into the job seekers' hands right now. So in terms of like what's popular, I mean, things more pressing open roles over the past, let's say even like 8 to 12 weeks that I've seen ramp up for are like product and project management, security, finance, media production. What's a new one that we added into our Discord as of late? Legal. Those are all like super, super in demand open roles right now. So if you fit into any of those categories, like everybody's hiring. In terms of like marketing, every company is also hiring something within marketing, whether that's social, traditional type, you know, types of marketing. I'd have to go through the jobs that were like just posted today, to kind of give you a sense of roles. Let's see. Coinly is hiring a head of marketing, and Mazari is hiring marketing coordinator. I mean, you just, if you just scroll through this channel, you'll see tons of jobs. So, market is definitely continuing to flourish, with proof. So,
and you mentioned that, like, kind of there's different versions of that marketing role. The more that I research marketing in Web3, it sounds like kind of a combination of marketing and community management. Like maybe they have a social media role, but they're also kind of managing the community, or sometimes those roles are completely split. What do you tend to see more of?
Yeah. So when roles are combined like that, they're smaller companies. So like maybe under 30 employees, 20 employees, or their projects just starting to get off the ground where, you know, people like startup culture, people wear multiple hats. And then as you get into like the larger Web3 companies, their entire departments, and it's very specifically broken down into focused roles. So like just for community, just for social, just for, I mean, I see roles like Web2 marketing for a Web3 company because they're trying to onboard Web2 users. So it just kind of depends. And then as a job seeker, if you're looking at that and looking at roles that are, you know, combined versus not combined, that's just a question you have to answer yourself. Like, is the compensation there, you know, that justifies the amount of work that's needed to go into making this succeed? Are the benefits good? Or do I want to go work for maybe like a more stable company? You know, but these are all questions that like any job seeker asks themselves, but, I digress.
No, that's super helpful. And it actually brings me to my next question, which was about salary, and kind of what to expect. I read like just the other day, and I don't know if this is true, you know, crypto Twitter, like, you know, who knows, but I read that a DAO approved a social media manager role for $20K a month and working 14 hours a day, which is like, that pay seems quite high, and also the number of hours seems quite high, and combined it feels really unsustainable. But then I also hear stories of communities that don't pay their mods, you know, they're kind of, marketing is kind of on the back burner, as you know. So I'm wondering if you can give us a sense of what is kind of a general expectation for salary coming into Web3, and are they paying in cryptocurrency or fiat? Just wondering if you could speak to that.
Yeah, the larger companies, they'll give you a choice between crypto and fiat. And then as you go, you know, towards medium sized and smaller companies, I see both. And I think that's just a preference of how the company operates. And it doesn't hurt as a job seeker to at least ask, you know, to be paid in a certain currency, whatever currency you feel most comfortable with. In terms of like market rates, I'm based in the US, so I see like for marketing roles in the US, there's at least like a 15% markup between 10 and 15. Again, that's like very general speaking, because like that's for larger companies that might not necessarily apply to like early stage projects. Sorry. And then that DAO, I'm curious what DAO it was that approved the sours. That's crazy. I don't know. Maybe they're a venture backed startup. Maybe they're backed by like a really large, like tier one VC. And I don't know. Maybe that's how the salary was approved to be so high. But the hours are weird. So and then at the lower level, with community moderating. Community moderating is the lowest paid job that I see in the market. Either you're not paid, or if you're working for a project, it's very typical to see payment happen like in portions or after mint. And anybody that's looking to take on those types of roles, I always recommend to like just take like an internal look, like, and ask yourself if you're willing to take on that risk, because you know, 80% of projects fail, whether that's like within 30 days and 90 days and a year, like it's a really big risk with your time. And while it's a great learning experience, if you want to be a community moderator, my best suggestion is just go start your own community and build it yourself. And that experience will be super valuable so that if you want to go and work for a larger company and be a community moderator, let's say like Nike, for instance, is hiring a Web3 community moderator right now. And like, that's like market salary because it's, you know, a major corporation.
Okay, that's really, really helpful because it's so hard to kind of gauge. And I like your suggestion of, yeah, just coming into it with your eyes wide open. Like if you're looking to be a mod to get, you know, get that Web3 experience to mint on your meta intro resume, then, you know, maybe you want to think about that. Are you worth risking, you know, maybe not getting paid accordingly, and maybe doing like your own community, like you said. And it's also really interesting to hear about the markup kind of in general for those more established companies going into Web3. So it sounds like all the marketers are in a good place right now to transition. All right. So with that, I'm going to hand the mic back to Rocky. She's going to go a bit deeper into how marketers can, you know, prepare, like asking you how marketers can prepare and position themselves for these jobs. While she does that, I'm going to invite our listeners to kind of virtually queue up so they can ask their questions. So if you just tap on your PFP and, you know, or request, or the tap on the mic and request to speak. When those questions are done, I'll bring you up on the stage.
Perfect. Thanks, Becky. So Lacey, so one of the questions that I actually had for you was around kind of this debate around paid and unpaid work experience. I was at a Careers in Web3 networking event just earlier this week, and It was certainly a really, really interesting debate, and one that continues to bubble up and bubble on. So thanks for giving us your thoughts on that. It would also be really interesting if you could share your top tips around maybe the best way that people can look to get work experience in this emerging space. If it's not going to be, you know, sort of unpaid work, you know, what other ways are there that people can look to kind of get some work experience so that they can then get that position that they're really after?
Yeah, totally. So with unpaid jobs, you know, we all had our first internship, right? That was like unpaid, and it's okay to do one. Right. And it's okay to do that for a defined amount of time, and then take that experience, throw it on your resume and go out and look for work. But anything beyond that, I think, is just like an abuse by an employer of your time. So other ways that you can look for experience, first and foremost, hackathons. There's both technical and non-technical hackathons. I feel like not a lot of people know that. For instance, like Codeless Conduct, that's a codeless hackathon. Oftentimes at hackathons, there are codeless opportunities. You just have to look at the projects that are up and the opportunities to engage with them. Second, companies like Clioverse and Layer 3, they're bounty boards. Great teams over there, and you can complete bounties, kind of like a contest, if you will. I feel like that's like the best way of explaining it, where a company will put up something that says like, I need a blog about how to, you know, or jobs in the Web3 space, and the best submission will get one ETH. And you'll write that blog, you'll submit it for review, and if they decide to move forward with it, then you get that ETH. But the point is not necessarily the payment, but it's the experience as well of doing that, and you should put those submissions on your resume as well. And then third, projects, you know, starting your own projects, tinkering with your own ideas, I think is a really good way to just make up your own experience, whether that's starting an NFT project, gathering some friends to do a DAO, you know, whatever you're looking to do. There's a way you can kind of like work on your own idea. And then I think those are like the top three ways I would recommend going about it.
Perfect. Thank you. Are you able to give a little bit more information to us about the hackathon that you spoke about? Sorry if I sound really green. It's not something that I've really heard too much about. So I'd be really interested if you're able just to unpack it for us.
Yeah. So it's called Codeless Conduct. I really should be an ambassador for them because I feel like I talk about their product all the time because it's such a good idea. It's a completely codeless hackathon. So everything non-technical. So I've, whether that's creating marketing campaigns for a new company, creating content, either video or text, there's always like dozens of different unique opportunities to get your feet wet in the Web3 space. I'm thinking, let me find the site. I want to say it's Gitcoin has a hackathon section. Hold on a sec. Where you can browse different. If you go to Gitcoin.com and Gitcoin.com/hackathons, there's a ton of hackathons that are happening within their ecosystem or have happened. And I would suggest going through each one and seeing if there are non-technical opportunities in there that you can submit to.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you. That's a real kind of tangible takeaway that people can just go away in action. So that's really useful. Thank you for unpacking that for us. Just moving on to, just some of the other practical things that people can do. We've spoken a little bit about this because we've spoken about we talked about values and kind of, you know, just getting some of those tasks, I guess, on your resume. But what are some of the other ways that that people can kind of build a portfolio and, you know, tailor that to Web3?
Me or...
That one was for you, if that's okay.
Okay. I wanted to give her an opportunity to speak as well if she had an opinion on this. Ways you can Web3-ify your resume. There are a few, and I'll just graze over them quickly because I think they're all kind of self-explanatory. First, your contact information. Include your Twitter, include your Discord handle, your Telegram handle. Doing that shows you know the culture. And also on top of it, like a lot of hiring managers that I speak to prefer communication over Discord and Telegram versus email. So include that information. Second, your skills section. Skills in the Web3 space, again, depending on what you're looking at. What layers are you familiar with? What chains are you familiar with? Discord? Are there coin market cap? You know, like what Web3 tools do you use to stay updated? Those are all platforms that could and may be used within your work. So put that onto your resume as well. Think about going through some courses. There's some great Web3 educational companies that I definitely recommend, like Learn and Metaverse VU. Even going through some Udemy courses, like it doesn't hurt. Throw that on your resume. And then your experience section. Your experience, like a majority of the time, is applicable to that Web3 job. It's just the context of the company you're working for is different. So if you're applying to a marketing role and you're coming from like a Web2 marketing background, include it. Like you should definitely continue, keep that there and just kind of Web3-ify everything else around your resume. You'll be surprised. A lot of employers are like more than happy to take and train Web2 professionals and move them into the Web3 space, or at least be like their first company that job seeker works for in the Web3 space.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I mean, I think it's also really important, isn't it, for people to remember that, you know, we are still early, and, you know, at the end of the day, you do still have it. You've got a skill set that is applicable to a variety of different roles. And yeah, then, you know, there could be some upskilling that is involved, but don't lose sight of the fact that you've got lots of work experience, that you've, mm-hmm. you know, potentially had a career, you've had a job, and you can kind of definitely take all of that into your Web3 role. Kaylee, I just wondered if you had any other thoughts around that, like some of the other ways that people could kind of prepare their portfolio, prepare their resume for a Web3 role. And the other thing that I wanted to ask you was if you're able to talk to us a little bit about maybe just like how the interview process is in a Web3 role as well.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I just want to say I'm just fascinated with everything Lacey's talking about, because I really want to go join your Discord now and check it out, because it sounds amazing. I'm definitely coming from a different, more like grassroots side of, oh, I want to figure this out. I'm just going to go learn trial by fire. I'm going to go see who I connect with. But knowing that there's already a community in place that kind of takes your Web2 experience and kind of helps you with that to make sure that you're aligned with the right place, I think is so cool. So I love hearing Lacey talk too. So thank you for sharing. In terms of kind of building your book, I think that's what's exciting, is that you can go and you can start to create something on your own, or you can connect with other creators and, you know, just give back and try to build up the book that you want to have. I think in a lot of more traditional roles, right, you're kind of handed to you who your accounts are, who your clients are, and you're working towards their goals. But here you can kind of select that. If you're coming from more of a route of like, okay, I just want to get into this, I want to see what it's about. And I think that that's something that is a little bit freeing there. So in terms of me joining Stardust Society, I knew that our values matched. I knew it was something that I was going to put a lot of energy and passion into. So that's definitely something that I could take and create a case study from, if that's something I want to put it within my portfolio. And I think kind of figuring out who it is you want to be, what kind of roles you want to get, going after that and finding holes that need to be filled and plugging yourself in so you have that experience. There's so much happening right now, right? This is a perfect opportunity to get in and go for it. In terms of the interview process, I think it's just really being your authentic self, going in there and saying, you know, maybe I don't have this experience here, but I have this other experience, and maybe that's applicable. And really putting that energy forward, because I think that goes a long way in Web3, is that energy, that gusto, that want to be here, versus, you know, the kind of, I'm just looking for a job, I'm just looking for a paycheck, which of course everyone needs that too. You need to be able to live, you need to be able to support yourself. But having that ability to really shape your life the way you want to, I think people see that here a little bit more than you would within your traditional interview. Selling yourself here is a little bit different, because I think a lot of people are looking for that authenticity and that clarity of, this is what I want and this is what I'm going to go after, which I think is just a little refreshing. I know it's not the same if, you know, if I was going into that Nike interview to be their Discord mod, I think I would definitely have a different approach because of the client that you're kind of selling yourself to. But if you're going more for, oh, I really love this artist's work and I want to be a part of their community, I think that goes a long way. And just making sure that you're telling that story to the people that you need to be telling it to.
Yeah, that's super. It's almost like there's a lot of soul searching that needs to take place to kind of just understand yourself a little bit more, so that you're going after the stuff that really will align to you, but will align to the, you know, if it is a project, that will align to the project as well. And I think that chimes through, because it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because we all join communities that we're personally aligned to, that we, you know, we show up in communities because they matter to us, because they're making a difference to our lives. And so, you know, everything that you're saying, it makes perfect sense that, you know, to be part of that community. And I don't want to say, I didn't want to use the word employed, because I think it runs deeper than that. And I think it is about being part of that community in a different way, in a more contributory way. I think it requires some soul searching, but it's really exciting because it's going to align. I totally chime with that. Thank you. Lacey, I just wondered, I heard you talk in a Twitter space with Take Up Space a couple of months back about the interview process. And I found it really interesting what you talked about, the fact that sometimes the interview process can be like super, super informal and really different to perhaps like a Web 2 experience that someone would have going into an interview. Now, I know that that's not going to be the case in every single job that people are going for, but it would be great if you could talk to that.
Yeah, I've seen interview processes kind of all over the place. It depends on the company size, how long the company has been around, the role, the size of the team, or department that you'd be working with. And kind of, I guess, talking to the ranges. So like on one side, we have projects that are just starting. It's a group of people that like want to create, let's say, a PDE game or a DeFi project. And they're looking for collaborators. They're looking for people that can get super gung-ho and excited. And there's generally like very informal, like I very loosely quote, air quoting right now, interview process. So those often look like a Discord DM, a Twitter DM saying like, let's chat. And obviously because the project's just getting off the ground, the time to hire is, you know, relatively quick, and often unpaid. And then I see on the opposite end, interview processes like taking 3, 4, 6, interview rounds. And that again depends on the role and, how big the company is. So, and then through that, you know, you see like assessment tests, you see HR managers making sure that there's a culture fit. So having that job seeker interview with potential teammates. But I think all of that stuff is also very like similar to Web 2. That happens in Web 2 anyway. I think that kind of covers it.
Yeah, that does. Thank you so much. And if you're able to talk to us about how Meta Intro can help, how can people get into Meta Intro and, where can they start with you?
Yeah, so we're about 45 days from launch-ish, don't quote me, somewhere in there. And the way that it works is it'll hold all of your on-chain credentials, and you'll be able to ask your old employers or past educational institutions or wherever else you hold your credentials to send you NFT badges showcasing or holding your proof of. So whether that's proof of education, employment, skill, and you can start building your wallet. But in the meantime, the best way to kind of just dive in is by getting into the Discord. So if you hop into the Discord, you'll see on the left-hand side, there's a section called Web3 Jobs. And I just scroll down, you'll see channels are based on role type. And if you scroll through the chat history, you'll see Qbert, our bot, who posts jobs that are sent to him. And he'll post the listing with a link to apply, and you just apply. And it's free and easy to use, and there's a community around it. So if you ever need help with anything in your job seeking process, like there's an entire force of Web3 professionals that are there to hang out and help and lend an ear or a hand, a virtual hand. an avatar hand.
Virtual hand is so much better than no hand. I mean, that's that's super and so much more than people get in their day-to-day lives, you know, just like when they're going around their job hunt. Yeah. So I've had a look around in the Discord, and it's super. And like you say, there are so many roles being posted every day that it just makes sense to just tune in and see what's available, because it's shifting and changing so much. One more question just on the technicalities around the on-chain credentials and the kind of NFT element of that kind of like on that resume. Is it fairly complicated, or like, you know,
are you super easy? Yeah, super easy. So like, for instance, take up space. You went through like a course, right? Like, what was it? Like a 6 or 8 week course like that. And with that, like at the end, the idea would be like, PAF would issue you a, proof of, edge completion in their case. And that can hold whatever, you know, the company wants it to hold, whether that's like dates completed, courses taken, grades received, and then once that's minted, you can send it to the Meta Intro wallet address. It works exactly like MetaMask, if you will. So you'll be given your own wallet address, and then it will send into your Meta Intro wallet address, and then you can organize it how you would organize your resume. So, you know, by your education section, your skills section, work experience section. You can hide and show, you know, badges that you have. You don't have to show all of them. And eventually you'll be able to customize the resume. So that's kind of like the workflow. Other similar examples would be like PoOps. I'm sure everyone here is kind of like familiar with PoOps. You can send the PoOps into your wallet, kudos, whenever you get proof of something, you send it into your wallet.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Yeah, I'm really excited about
it. It's super exciting.
I think about what we're building, and the goal is to help as many people as possible make the career transition and to like reduce the time to hire and reduce the friction. And eventually replace the PDF resume, but that's the North Star.
That's so great. I can't wait. I haven't had any requests just yet for people to ask questions. I think everyone's just like kind of taking notes like I am with all of these amazing suggestions and ideas. I did have a follow-up question for Kaylee. You know, we talked a little bit about your transition from Web 2 and Web 3, and I wonder if you could talk a little bit about any like mindset shifts. You know, for example, I know your day job, you're in a marketing agency, you know, working on as a creative director. And I think, you know, the big strategy, you know, lies on your shoulders, like the big decisions, right? And then now you're going into Web3, where there's so much more co-creation, and that's expected, that you're going to be building with the community. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, like, did that ever feel a little bit weird? Because I know sometimes, you know, in marketing, you can adjust things as you go, as you kind of look at the metrics, but there's only so much you can change with like a full blown campaign. but with Web3, it's a lot more nimble, it seems like. So I wonder if you could speak a little bit to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think within Web3, right, you have the ability to make a lot more quick pivots and change course, because you can always like rely on your community, right? It's not the same in the kind of marketing I do, where it's like, oh, you know what, we did a poll with the consumers and they're going to want to switch from, you know, a pop-up activation to a mobile marketing activation. Like, we don't really do that often. We'll do that kind of on the forefront when we're gaining insights, but there's not really any quick decision-making like we have here in Web3. So, for example, with Startup Society, we didn't, you know, we knew we were going to close our first mint period at a specific time, but at that time we weren't sure, okay, are we going to then mint all the remaining NFTs to our community wallet, or are we going to, you know, reopen public sale? What are we going to do? So we engaged our community there. So that's what's the kind of exciting part, is your community being a part of your process, which you don't really have in your kind of Web2 marketing along the way with your consumers. So it's just a little bit different. In terms of like that balance though, of how to manage the two careers, I think that this opportunity wouldn't have been viable for me prior to the pandemic, because during the pandemic, there was such that total mind shift in how people approach work and how people treat work. And before, in agency life, it was fully just you were working those 14 hours a day. You were expected to. You had to deliver for your client on the deadlines, and you couldn't come back and say, you know what, we want a little bit more time, or we want to work through this. You know, it's not often that we do that now, because now we're trying to work in balance. But before, it was just so much grinding. So now to be in an opportunity where it's like, yeah, I have the opportunity to say, I'm going to spend a little bit of time here on my Web3 job during the day, and working remotely has made that possible too. So having that kind of mindfulness of, I'm getting burnt out, I can't be on this next account. I want to focus a little bit on this side thing. That's completely something that people do now, where before it would not be an option. And that's something that we saw a lot through the pandemic too, with the kind of great resignation, that people saw a lot of people just quitting their jobs because they weren't going to work this toxic lifestyle anymore. So that kind of opportunity to find the kind of work you want and be mindful about it too, a lot of employers have started to shift how they approach their people and their culture. And so that's really something that's exciting, because now it opens the doors to other opportunities.
Yeah, I definitely resonate with that. I know that, like you said, the pandemic made me kind of rethink, you know, what are some of the projects that I want to work on, and what do I want my day-to-day work life to look like? And, you know, part of that was wanting to work remotely and maybe work on multiple projects and not just on, you know, with one company. And I think Web3 allows you to do that too, and contribute in multiple communities. So, yeah, I think the pandemic and Web3 really combined to create this big shift, like you were saying. So thank you for sharing that very much. And so we are just about at the end of the hour here. I know that I have learned so much, and I'm sure Rocky, you know, we were both so excited, you know, coming into this space, and just so grateful that you both could join us, and we are just buzzing, just so excited to have learned all of these actionable tips that we can take away now as we make our transition. And so, Rocky, I'll let you kind of help us sign off here.
Yeah. Just thank you again, Kaylee. Thank you, Lacey, for joining us. It's been really, really useful. I think three key takeaways, if I was going to just put my hat out there. One would be, it's the bear market, but people are still hiring, which is just amazing news, and I think that people need to hear this. So you know, yeah, people are still hiring, and you know, some employers are actually ramping up their hiring. A great way to kind of get some work experience is to create your own experience, create your own community, create your own project. Doesn't have to be that way, but that's certainly one way. And check out the Codeless Hackathons too. They sound really, really interesting. So go to gitcoin.com to check those out. And yeah, there is definitely a difference in interviews, but there's all types of different interview processes. And I think it will just will, you know, that will just depend on the type of role that you're going for and the type of employer that you're looking at. So I think they're the three key takeaways. Was there anything that that you guys wanted to add before we sign off?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you so much for having me and Lacey today. I'm really excited about this series. I think this is something that people are really looking for help with. So I can't wait for the next one. I think it's going to be great.
Thank you so much for saying that, Kaylee. Awesome. Well, we'll sign off then. We'll be back next month for the next installment.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, everyone.